thank you so much. Would you kindly stand with me for a few moments, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For my sister here, would you lift your hands up to the Lord? Yes. I saw the presence of God coming upon you, sister, in your right hip joint and also your lower back and your right shoulder and both your knees, especially the right knee. Like a cloud of God's glory, I just saw His presence passing through. Anything that needs to be corrected, strengthened, or healed in those areas, His presence takes care of that right now. Also, any discomfort here in the upper portion of the stomach, middle of the chest area also is lifting. And every once in a while, just a little numbness in either feet or the hand, I saw there's going to be an increase of blood circulation there as well. He's strengthening both your knees and even in the right side of the head and the right ear and the low part of your neck. There's some healing and correction taking place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Definitely something in the lower back is taking place. His healing presence is upon you. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Kola kriya kalamashu, kalamashia kalamashakuru. Ola kriya shakalamashu. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kola kriya shakalamashu, la karamashu, kalamashia kara. Ola kriya shakalamashia karamashia kara. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Jan, I just saw that over the years, there's so many different aspects of our regional demonic spirit and the angels of God vying for control over this region in Tacoma. So kalamasha kalamasu kuramaklia sakara. Ola karamasu kalamashakara. And because of by His word ministry stationed here, the Lord has the opportunity and the ability and the authority to release more and more of His angelic beings to clear the atmosphere, to unseat a lot of the authorities or the principalities that try to rage war against the forces of the kingdom of God in this region. Kola karamashu kalamashu kalamashakara. I saw once again, you know, the hand of the Lord coming into this region, and the Lord is using this congregation to empower it, to strengthen it, to just cause more of His authority to flow through it. Because from in the eyes of the Lord, the enemy has already been so completely defeated at the cross. But the Lord says the enforcing of that authority, the enforcing of that defeat of the enemy is going to be made known even in more significant ways during this next season. I saw the level of God's anointing, God's authority and His hand and the ability of the angels of God to go into forces to enforce the victory that's already ours in Christ. The angels of the Lord are going to be much more activated in this next season. And the forces of darkness are going to be pushed back because they know and the angels know and the Lord knows. And now the church is finding out more and more that the devil has been defeated. He's been using and assuming false authority over regions. And the Lord says that because you stood your ground and stood on the word, the Lord says that there is a turning coming that is coming to pushing back the forces of darkness. And they'll become more and more in this region an open heaven because of what the ministry here has been accomplishing over many years. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand of praise for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody in my left-hand section, you got a plugged up right here. The Lord Jesus touches you and heals you. Bible says He sends His word and heals them and delivers them from all of their distresses. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love you. Jesus loves you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I always say this. When you learn how to be a friend of God, He then introduces you to His other friends, and that's called divine connections. And I'm so glad that 1976, Brother Jan, Sister Sue, and their little kids back then, you know, we had the opportunity to get to know them and to be trained under Dave Roberson as we traveled around the West Coast and all of that. And it's just a great joy and a blessing, and through Pastor Jan, to be able to connect with you here today. Praise the Lord. This morning, what the Lord laid upon my heart to share with you is, I'd like to call it, Honey, I Shrunk the Devil. And we know about the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and how a crazy professor or scientist or inventor, he invented an electromagnetic shrink machine. But he thought it was a failure, and he was going to get rid of it, throw it away in the garbage. But little did he know that the experiment really worked. And unfortunately, 4 kids happened to come into that area because of a ball that went in there and bumped into that electromagnetic shrink machine, and it shrunk these 4 kids into quarter-inch size. So when this crazy professor, thinking that this whole experiment was a disaster and was a failure, he picked up all of that and by mistake picked up those quarter-inch kids also and threw them in the garbage. The rest of the story is, how these 4 quarter-inch kids had to fight their way out of the garbage and try to find their way home. And on the way, these shrunken kids, so little tiny, when they came across some ants, the ants looked like they were gigantic elephants doing a stampede. Because when you're only quarter inch, everything else looks so big and so exaggerated. And when they came across some water sprinklers there by the side of the, in the neighborhood, it looked like a tsunami. It looked like a hurricane. It just was so powerful. And sometimes, when you're so small and you have perspectives that everything else is so big, just exactly as in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33, it says the 10 spies that came back, they said this about the promised land. They said, it's a great land, but we cannot take it. And they said that we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we became in the eyes of the giants. So the moral of that story is, it wasn't the giants that kept them out of the promised land. It was really the grasshoppers. So when we think about ourselves so small as grasshoppers, but when we begin to acknowledge who we are in Jesus Christ, and that begins to change our inner image, praise God. And so this morning, what the Lord laid upon my heart to share with you is, we're going to use God's Word and the revelation of the Holy Spirit as God's electromagnetic shrink machine. And we're going to end up by saying, honey, we shrunk the devil. Hallelujah. We're going to find out how Satan looks at us. He's the one that is more troubled about us than we are of him. So let's take a couple of scriptures, please. Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. And we'll read from verses 1 to 7. Do you got the scriptures coming out on the screen, guys? Thank you. Yeah, that's okay. We finished that. Numbers chapter 22, starting verse 1. Okay, it's 1 to 7. I'm going to read. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at the time. Then he sent messages to Balaam the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once, curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom thou blessed is blessed, he whom thou cursed is cursed. So the elders of Moab and elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. Sounds to me like the devil, when he saw what God's people were doing, how they were positioned, that describes, how the devil looks at us. When you know who you are and you begin to move forward in your inheritance in Christ and with God's mandate, drive out the enemy, go possess the land. Drive out the enemy, go possess the land. In verse 1, actually it says, and the children of Israel set forward. That means it's a position of set forward, being ready to go forward. We know the expression, on your mark, get set, right? So that's the position of God's people. And the children of Israel, they set forward. Can you say, set forward? Okay, so when we step forward and position ourselves to move forward in faith, it sends a tremor in the realm of the kingdom of darkness. The devil knows when he can feel the waves of God's glory and our faith moving in that direction, he'll begin to feel it. And so it looks like what we just read over here is when the devil saw God's people, he went to the nearest phone booth to dial 911 for help. That's what this actually is, modern translation, of course. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, God gave a mandate to Israel. In Numbers chapter 33, verse 55, it says, if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land, those of the inhabitants whom you allow to remain, they will become pricks in the eyes and thorns in the flesh, and they will vex you, trouble you, exasperate you, frustrate you. What he's saying is this, if you don't, and the inhabitants of the land, by the way, they were real people groups, they were real ethnic group, they were real group, real groups. Israel dealt with these people in the natural. But for spiritual purposes, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, each of these groups are inhabitants of the land. They represent a certain kind of sin or a certain kind of demonic force. The Philistines represent intimidation and harassment. We saw in the story of David and Goliath how Goliath came and intimidated them. The Syrians and the Assyrians in the Old Testament, they represent aggressive thieves. You give them an inch, they'll just take a lot more. All of those kinds of things, you know. So like that, there are many different inhabitants of the land. And even though there were physical people groups and everything else, and God said to Israel, drive out the enemy and go possess the land, and those of the enemies whom you allowed to remain. Many times we think God is allowing this and God is allowing that. You know, we know that there are certain things that's out of our control, but much of the time when we say God is allowing this or that, it's because we have neglected that we have authority in Christ. And when God says, if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land, those of the inhabitants whom you have allowed to remain, they will become pricks in the eyes, thorns in the flesh, and they will vex you and so on. And so we need to remind ourselves that much of the things that have been allowed in our lives is because we refuse to take authority over those things. Instead of driving out the enemy and go possessing the land moving forward, we have allowed the enemy to take that role. In fact, what we just read in Numbers chapter 22, the very last verse, verse 7, it says, these guys, they sent to Balaam, the witch doctor, whom they went with money, saying, we want you to curse so that we can drive these Israelites out. You know, imagine that. The devil has reversed everything. God gave the mandate for us to drive the enemy out and go possess the land. Drive the enemy out and go possess the land. But rather, the enemy wants to turn everything around so that he can drive the people of God out and go possess their land. So we're going to just see. I remember preaching in Boston a number of years ago, one Sunday morning, and in the afternoon got on a plane to go to Chicago. And I was praying about the evening meeting, what to preach. The Lord said, son, I'm going to change your entire concept about spiritual warfare. I'm going to show you how Satan looks at you. And God began to open up these scriptures to me. Look at the description of some of these verses, what we read in Numbers chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. Let's look at 3 to 6, please, if we can. Numbers 22, verses 3 to 6. It says, they are, in King James, it says, exceedingly afraid. King James says, sore afraid, but that's correct. Go back, please. Yeah, that's correct. Thank you. So they were Moab was sore afraid. Can you say, sore afraid? That's a symbol, that's a symptom of the devil. We are not the ones with the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The devil is a spirit of fear. He's the one that is fear, and he wants to tag that title onto us. And many times we accept that, and we say, I'm so afraid. You know, the devil is doing this, and the devil is doing that. But the real fact of the matter is, that's the description of the enemy. He is sore afraid because there were many. And it says Moab was distressed. Can you say distressed? Okay, but the devil wants us to claim that title I'm so distressed. I'm so afraid. All these things. The devil is doing this and the devil is doing that. I'm so stressed out, so distressed and everything else. These are descriptions of the devil himself. And the devil, through subtlety and lies, is trying to pin those titles to you. So whenever we say, I'm so afraid, I'm so distressed, you're actually confessing the nature of the devil. Because he's the one. The real fact is, he's the one that is exceedingly afraid because of the people of God. Why? Because they set forward. They were in a position to move forward. All right, next verse, that says, now this company shall lick up all that are around about us as an ox licketh up the grass of the field. Now, growing up in India, of course, we saw, you know, a lot of cows grazing, you know, in fields and everything else. They start in the morning, one end of the field, and they start grazing. After a few hours, you saw that they're up there in the middle of the field or so. And that's the picture over there. What the devil sees of God's people is, we cannot allow these guys to keep going like this, because like an ox that licks up or eats up the grass of the field, they're going to just mow us all down completely. So that's the picture. That's what the devil thinks about you. But we just think, oh man, the devil's doing this, I'm so afraid. The devil's doing that, I'm so stressed out and so distressed. The devil's doing that, my God, you know, he's just going to take me over. You know, he's going to lick me up and all that I have and all that I am. You know, like an ox licks up the grass. You know, these are descriptions of the devil, but the devil wants us to claim that. Next one, please, in verse 5. And we'll go on to verse 5, the last part. Behold, they cover the face of the earth and abide over against me. Can you imagine that? The devil is on the defense when God's people who set forward, moving forward in faith, they cover the face of the earth. That's an exaggeration. You know, they are just a small group of people, the Israelites, but we make a big noise. We carry big weight, you know. And so the devil gets that. It just seems like everything is exaggerated for him when God's people who know who they are, praise God. No wonder Jesus said, I'm building my church and the gates of hell cannot overpower, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You can exercise authority, praise God. Not only that, and he says, and they have settled over against me. In other words, oh my gosh, the God's people are moving over next to me. You know, how often we are on the defensive, we just say, you know, these the demonic people or the demonic things and demonic activities, you know, it's closing in on me. But the real fact of the matter is, these are the symptoms of the devil. When God's people begin to close in on the devil and begin to do what God said, drive out the enemy, go possess the land, he feels that to the point where he went to that phone booth to call 911, to call Balaam. Balaam was a very famous witch doctor, and they brought money to him and said, if you curse these people, then they will be cursed, and then we can drive them out. What do you mean? Look at that lingo. That is our language. God said, drive them out, go possess the land. And the devil tries to use that. And when the devil starts getting aggressive, intimidating to us, we become so much on the defense and we don't realize words like, I'm so afraid, I'm so distressed, you know, I'm so stressed out, you know, and the devil's going to just take me over, and he's going to cast me out, he's going to drive me out. All of these kinds of things. That's the kind of defensive posture the devil has placed a lot of God's people today. But today we're going to find out through the Word of God that in fact, just this thing shows that's what the devil is. He is a spirit of fear, but we have not been given a spirit of fear. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2, please. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Joshua chapter 2, please. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Start in verse 9. Thank you. All right. And this is Rahab the harlot. Now, two of the spies that Joshua sent to Jericho, you know, she hid them because Joshua said, go spy out the land, you know, Jericho. And she hid these guys. And Rahab is the voice of the devil, or speaks on behalf of the inhabitants of Jericho. And this is what she says is reflective of what the devil thinks about you. So she makes this confession to the two spies. And she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Let's wait on that, please. One second. Let's wait on that. Verse 9. She said unto the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Do you know that the devil knows that Tacoma belongs to us in the name of the Lord? He knows that, but he doesn't want you to know that. All right? And then she said, made another confession, and that your terror, God's people's terror, your terror is fallen upon us. Whereas we as God's people feel the terror, feel the pain, feel the intimidation, feel the harassment from the enemy, and he puts us on the defense. But the real terrorists are Christians wearing the armor of God, moving forward in faith, and that's the way the devil looks at us. Praise God. Our terror has fallen upon us. When God's people are setting forward and beginning to move forward and taking the command of God seriously, drive out the enemies and go possess the land. Drive out the enemies and go possess the land. Then we begin to move from faith to faith, glory to glory, and strength to strength. Praise God. And the devil is put on the defense, and that's when he talks this way, that your terror has fallen upon us. And it says, and all the inhabitants of the land, they faint because of you. Because of God's people. Because of God's people, the devil feels terrorized. Because of God's people, the devil, the devil loses, he faints. Faints means discourage and give up. There's no more courage left in them, it says. And because of God's people, the enemy feels terror. Does that remind you of James chapter 4, verse 7? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I remember Kenneth Hagin many years ago made this very, very clear to the body of Christ. The word flee means to run from as in terror. Does that fit well with this kind of a understanding of the scriptures from these passages? Yes. So the devil feels the terror when Christians wearing the armor of God move forward in faith. Praise God. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Just say this, because of you. Now say, because of me. The devil is terrorized. He is sore afraid. He is extremely distressed. He faints. And there's no more courage left in him. Because I'm setting forward. In the name of Jesus, I drive out the enemy. And I go possess the land. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's go over to the New Testament, a couple of passages over there. And let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 34, please. Luke chapter 4, verse 34. This is when Jesus came full of the Holy Ghost to Nazareth, and he opened the scriptures and began to preach. And a man that comes to church or the synagogue regularly, there was suddenly demons began to manifest and speak forth. All those years, there was no manifestation like that, because now that Jesus comes with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he exposes the devil. So that's Luke chapter 4, verse 34, please. Luke chapter 4 and verse 34. Thank you. Okay, these are demons that manifested when Jesus came to Nazareth, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Imagine that. I remember several years ago, I was in a church in Arizona, and while the pastor was leading in worship, I was standing in the back praying, and noticed there was a big, tall gentleman kneeling down over here in the front while everybody was worshiping the Lord. And this guy was shaking like this. And I looked over at him again and noticed something different about this guy. Big, tall guy, kneeling down, pretending like he's seeking the Lord and all that. But I noticed that he had this, goat's head Satanism symbols with his fingers. And he was doing like this, kneeling down there. And I looked at him again and I saw, yeah, he's doing that deliberately, all right. So I came up to the pastor and I said, Pastor, just let me just turn the microphone over to me. And so I had this guy to stand up. I said, so would you please stand up? I said, you came here for prayer, right? And he nodded his head like this. I said, why don't you please stand up? I want to pray for you. He stood up, big tall guy. And I said, please lift your hands up. And he did. And I said, he was half drunk too, you know, but I said, you need prayer for alcohol? And he just nodded like this. And I said, okay. And then I said, are you ready to get rid of witchcraft and Satanism also? And he looked at me, he says, no way. I said, let me pray for you anyhow. So I said, Satan and every demon of witchcraft, sorcery or black magic, curse controlling his life, I bind you in Jesus' name. Just in front of everyone, like timber, he just went big talking, just fell down like this. And then he quickly went back later on and went and sat down and finished the service. At the end of the service, I came over to him and I said, sir, you need to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life. And he just looked at me with fear. He said, leave me alone, okay? Leave me alone. Just leave me alone, okay? I said, you need to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life. He said, leave me alone. There's something in me that hates you. I said, we can fix that right now. As every devil controlling that, I rebuke you. And he started screaming, leave me alone, leave me alone. And he just ran out. After he left, I told the church, let's pray for his deliverance and claim his salvation. We did that, praise God. And the following Sunday, the pastor told me, he and his family came. And when the altar call was given, all of them got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you know this thing, then we can just exercise our authority in Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's the spirit of fear. He's the one that said to Jesus, leave me alone, okay? Leave me alone. Why have you come to torment me? You know, so that's the way it is when the real colors of the devil is revealed. He's the spirit of fear. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Praise God. So when Jesus came to Nazareth, the demons manifest. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come to torment us? Leave us alone. That's the way the devil looks at us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Also, let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 28, please. Luke chapter 8 and verse 28. Luke chapter 8, verse 28. Thank you, Lord. Here was another demon-possessed guy, tormented in the tombs and everything else. And the demon spoke through him and said this, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. You remember in 1 John 4, it says that fear has torment. And Satan is a spirit of fear. And torment comes along with his fear. And he wants us to feel tormented. He wants us to feel fearful. But that is not the sign or the symptom or the character of a child of God. It is the nature of the devil. So when Jesus exposed the devil, the demons cried out, says, I know who you are. Why have you come to torment me? You know, so he cried out in fear. I beseech thee, torment me not. Hallelujah. So the devil is on the defense. If the truth were known, we should stop being on the defense because we're exposing the devil. We're shrinking the devil right now with God's electromagnetic shrink machine. Hallelujah. More to come. Praise the Lord. More to come. Hallelujah. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, the demons also believe and they tremble. The devil's got Parkinson's disease. The devils believe and they tremble. So we are really exposing the devil over here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this point, I want to just share a little bit about my personal testimony. It's not all pretty, but I'm going to just share the basic highlights of it so that you can see the impact of a testimony that I believe will be great encouragement to you. After I was with Pastor Jan and Dave Roberson in 1976, you know, I went later that year to start out my own ministry in New Hampshire and Vermont, New England, and all of that, you know, and for the next 7 years preached the word of faith all over New England. That time New England was called God's Chosen Frozen there, you know, and it was also called a preacher's graveyard because not too many preachers would make it over there. But anyhow, The Lord sent this little Indian guy. You know, at that time I was so full of Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. I was like a Copeland with a tan. I made the God's Chosen Frozen in New England very, very nervous, you know. And so I began to minister over there. And for the first 7 years of my ministry, things were going well, very well. And things began to escalate. And then we moved to another state. And things began to move in 1983. And God opened up many, many places to minister. And He opened up New York City in such a way that in 1983, I was negotiating for an office in the Empire State Building in New York. And but just before we moved there, our whole world collapsed almost overnight for the next 20 years. Never expected this whatsoever. We were associated with a group of people, a so-called church group. And, you know, at first everything seemed to be going well, but then the real colors showed up when we began to see that they deliberately beat up, physically beat up a lot of people. They had husky men that would go and just beat up people that would not comply with their whatever demonic, dictatorial vicious and things like that. And we found out through lies, witchcraft, demonic forces, and intimidation and harassment, they deliberately destroyed 30 marriages that ended up in divorce. Became like a demonic cult. And so when we stood up against that, when I stood up against that, I caught all heck. You know, I mean, they just focused all of their efforts to destroy my life. They even had a guy to kill me, and I wouldn't have believed it except I met the guy. He had just left the group, and he told me. And so all kinds of things happened, you know. I ended up getting offended for the word's sake, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. And they abused the word of faith message to such a degree, to such a demonic realm, nothing like what we know normally as the standard word of faith teaching, but they destroyed a lot of people's lives and financially exploited a lot of people, beat a lot of people up, destroyed 30 marriages and everything, became a demonic cult. I was so angry, so hurt, and so offended by all these kinds of activity that I ended up just rejecting the word of faith message for a period of time. That was the worst mistake that I've ever done in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. That's the worst mistake. Because 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 says that when you neglect faith, you are on a collision course for a shipwreck of your faith. That's the reason why I wrote this book called Rebuilding the Foundation of Faith. It has a lot more details about my life and testimony in that. But anyway, so when I did that, I spiraled into a deep depression. Because I didn't know who to believe, what to believe. The only thing I knew to do is I would kneel down and read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation for 3 years, 4 to 6 hours a day. Genesis to Revelation. Every 2 weeks I'd read the entire Bible on my knees, about 20 times or so a year for 3 years. Then after that, for another 15 years, I would read 1 hour consecutively for the next 15 years. So for about 20 years almost, you know, my whole brain was programmed with Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation. I wasn't trying to do this to impress anybody because I understand the value of the scripture in Psalm 119 verse 92. It says, unless thy law had been my delights, I would have perished in my affliction. Me falling in love with the Word of God was the only thing that kept me from complete destruction. And God created a buffer zone between me and all kinds of unusual. It was actually, later on we found out it was just unusual witchcraft, Satanism, kind of demonic forces that were released against me and my family, ministry and so on. I mean, almost overnight, you know, all the doors closed on me. Almost overnight, finances dried up. Prior to that, we were doing very well financially in 1983. You know, so instead of being in a revival mode, I got into a survival mode. The enemy attacked my wife and from out of nowhere, like a powerful demonic scud missile would come and hit her in the chest, make her feel breathless and feel like she's going to drop dead. And no matter how much I rebuked the enemy and fasted 10 days, 40 days and all that, so many fasts and all that, nothing seemed to work whatsoever. It would come and hit her once a day out of nowhere, like a powerful demonic scud missile would hit her in the chest, make her feel breathless like she's going to drop dead, you know. And the only relief for her would be lay down on the bed and for 2 hours weep and weep and weep, and slowly that pressure would lift. That attack happened once a day for 5 years. And I went into a deep depression for 3 years. And the third year of the depression was so deep, I walked with death. You know, and any moment I thought I was going to drop dead. It was such was the intensity and the heaviness of these attacks. Sometimes I'd feel like invisible shot putts, three or four of them, being thrown invisible shot put balls, like heavy metal balls, like just falling on my head, one after the other, just to press me down, press me and push me down. Sometimes I'd wake up in a cold sweat and in the middle of the night, and I'd feel like two husky guys just beat me up on both sides. And, demonic nightmares, couldn't sleep at night. I mean, this went on for years. Horrible things. We didn't know what hit us. I searched and searched and searched and trying to find out, Lord, where's the open door? What did I do wrong? All those kinds of things, you know. And so that went on. So many different kinds of attack that lasted about 20 years. Horrible things. Then about 15 years ago or so, when I was going through a particularly hard time and just seeking, I would seek God. I would search. I mean, during that time when I was trying to find answers, I read everything. I listened to everything. I researched everything on demonic deliverance, Satanism, written by Christian author, spiritual warfare, generational curses, Jezebel spirits, all those kinds of things. For nearly 20 years, I searched and researched and I read tens of thousands of hours of listening and reading and all that, looking for answers for this onslaught that we went through at different stages in different ways for 20 years. I read so much about deliverance. I knew so much about deliverance that finally I had to get delivered from deliverance. Some people are experts on the devil, but they just can't get him out. You know, and I was going through a lot of pain, a lot of confusion. I searched for answers. But about 14 or 15 years ago, I was going through a particularly painful time, and somebody handed me a videotape of a man called Dr. Ed Smith. And he's a Christian psychologist. And somebody said, listen to this. And it was a videotape on Satanism, spiritual warfare, demons, and occultism, things like that, by this Christian counselor and psychologist. And he's from a Baptist background. Somebody gave that to me, and I thought, you know, I've already learned so much about all this Satanism, witchcraft from Christian authors and everything else, you know. And I said, you know, plus this guy's a Baptist. What does he know anyway, you know? And so I reluctantly put that video over there. And he got my attention. The first thing he said, you know, Satan has no control over our lives except for the lies that we believe. I said, okay, that sounds good. He said, many Christians believe that demons are the problem and deliverance is the solution. He said, that's not true. Demons are there because of the problem, and the problem is the lies that we believe. He said, if there's a dumpster in the city there, and you try to go chase all the rats off of that dumpster, or you saw all of them leave, except you probably killed one or two of those rats, you know, but you saw all the rats just leave, and you think you've got deliverance, you think you've got the victory. But when you leave that dumpster at night time, all those rats come back again. Why? Because the problem is still there. The garbage is still there. So he reinforced the point of this. He said that Satan has no control over your life except for the lies that we believe. He said if you keep believing the lies of the enemy, the devil can create a deceptive reality to keep you believing that lie. He said, similar to what Job experienced, that which I feared greatly came upon me. And so I said, okay, so far so good. But then he made a statement that made me so upset. He said, you know, many Christians believe that Satanists and witches can send demons and curses to destroy Christians. He said, that's not true. He said, in fact, it's a lie to believe that. When he said that, I was so angry with him. I got up to just either smash the TV or just shut it off. I was that furious. I said, what do you know, Mr. Ed Smith? I mean, we went through 20 years of hell, 3 years of deep depression to the point of death. My wife going through 5 years of unbelievable thing, experiencing death. And we've just gone through one setback after another, financially, ministry-wise, family-wise, in every way. One thing after another for 20 years, and we felt the demonic forces of witchcraft, Satanism, coming an onslaught to destroy our lives. And you're telling me it's a lie to believe that? You're a fool. You don't know what we've suffered for 20 years. So as I got close enough to just shut that off, I listened a little bit more, and this is what he said. He said, you know, I have personally trained thousands of Christians to bring inner healing and demonic deliverance for people that have come out of the worst kind of abuse, satanic ritual abuse, human sacrifice related kind of things, and witchcraft abuse, and Satanism, underworld of the Satanism and all that. He said, I've trained thousands of Christians to bring inner healing and demonic deliverance from some of the worst cases you can imagine. He even talks about some people that are now adults, but when they were kids, they watched other kids have their tongues cut off and thrown into human sacrifices to kill, and warned, if you open your mouth, this is what's going to happen to you. And they pushed all this kind of stuff, and extreme ritualistic demonic molestation, all kinds of mutilation and things like that. He said, I have personally trained thousands of Christians to bring inner healing and demonic deliverance, and tens of thousands of people are getting set free coming out of the Satanism and witchcraft. When, and that really got my attention. And then he said this. He said, don't you think that the Satanists are angry with me? He said, of course they are. He said, don't you think the Satanists are probably sending demons or curses to destroy me? He said, of course they're trying to do that. Then he looks right into the camera. He said, how come it hasn't affected me not even one time? And he said, it's because I don't believe the lie. They have that kind of power to destroy me. When he said that, it was a moment of truth for me. I just broke down and I began to weep. I just wept and wept and wept because now two questions are troubling me. You mean to tell me that for 20 years I could have walked in peace? You mean to tell me that for 20 years I'd believed the lie that these kinds of people had that kind of influence and authority over my life? I mean, this was an overwhelming moment of truth for me. I wept and I wept, and that afternoon, that was on a Wednesday afternoon, and that evening, and we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, and our friend Dave Roberson, the pastor over there, and I said, I'm going to go to church tonight, Lord, and I'm going to go up in the prayer line. Lord, I want you to speak through Dave prophetically and confirm to me and speak to me two things. One, if what the guy said on the video is the truth. Secondly, what do I need to know about the witches and the warlocks and the Satanists? I was weeping as I drove to church that day. All the time I was tormented with these two questions. You mean for 20 years I could have walked in peace? You mean for 20 years I'd believed a lie that these kinds of people are that kind of power and authority? It was overwhelming to me. So I went to church that night. I wasn't going to tell Dave anything. So I was in the prayer line. A bunch of other people were there also. So when Dave came to me, he said, okay, what do you want me to pray for? I said, Dave, just pray. Just please pray. Just pray. And I lift my hands up, I close my eyes, and in my heart I was telling God, you've got to speak through Dave right now. I need two things, two answers. What the guy said on the video is the truth. Secondly, what do I need to know about these witches, warlocks, and Satanists and so on? And I just cried out to God in my heart, God, you've got to speak to me through Dave right now. What seemed like a long time, suddenly I heard Dave's voice over the microphone. He said, Augie, the Lord just showed me a vision. Now I understand more of what you've been going through. He said, God showed me a vision, Augie. In this vision, I saw a group of people. In this vision, I saw them in a coven, like a witch's coven. And in that vision, I saw them chanting. So he said, they're active right now, Augie. It's actually going on right now. It's an active group of witches in a coven and they're chanting. He said, Jesus showed me that vision. But here's the good part Jesus wants me to tell you. Augie, Jesus tells me to tell you, don't even give them the time of day. They're absolutely powerless. There's absolutely nothing they can do except make a bunch of noise. All this is rooted in you knowing who you are. Amen. Then I remembered Ed Smith's video. One of the things he said is, folks, the most important thing is you need to be established in knowing who you are in Christ. So when Dave said this thing, he said, I see a vision. I see a group of people. I see them in a witch's coven. I see them chanting. But here's the good part. He said, Jesus tells me to tell you, Augie, don't even give them the time of day. They're absolutely powerless. There's absolutely nothing they can do except make a bunch of noise. All this is rooted in you, knowing who you are. Then when he saw that vision, Dave got so angry at the devil. And this is what he said. He said, Augie, if those people's brains were dynamite and you were to light it, there wouldn't be enough power in their brains to even blow their nose. Hallelujah. That night, I drove home, weeping as I drove home. Again, these two questions. You mean to tell me, for 20 years, I could have walked in peace? For 20 years, I'd believed a lie that these people had that kind of power and authority. Actually, after Dave gave me that word, I knelt down, I was weeping. I said, Lord, nobody knows what just happened. But now as I went home, I knew what I had to do. I had to choose to disempower Satan by choosing to disbelieve the lie that these people had that kind of power over me. So I said, Satan and every demonic force of witchcraft, sorcery, black magic curses, controlling the lie that these kinds of people have that kind of power over me, I renounce that lie in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every devil of witchcraft, sorcery, black magic curses coming against me through this lie, I bind you in the name of Jesus and I reject you. I demand that you leave my life in Jesus' name. And you know what? Over the next several minutes, 20 years of accumulated weights and burdens on my mind just started to fall off. And over a period of the next several days, I got freer and freer and freer. Then I thought, you know what? I need to find out who this guy Ed Smith is. I mean, just one moment of truth. You know, Jesus said that. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know, I said, I got to find out who this guy is, you know. So I went to the internet. I said, I want to attend one of his seminars. So I want to see. And guess what? I found out that he was having a seminar 2 weeks later. But the sad part was, it was in the same state where all this hell was released against me. All the 20 years, whenever anybody mentioned the name of that state, something would hurt so deeply inside of me. I didn't want to believe that such a state existed. I didn't want anybody to think about it, talk about it to me, about that particular state. But once in a while somebody mentioned that, something would go off on the inside of me like great pain, great despair, heartbreak. That's where it began, because of these evil people, so-called in the ministry. But then when I saw that this guy was having a seminar in that same region, I gasped, you know, and then I said, no, I got to go. I want to go. So I went to his seminar in that particular state. It was balconies, you know, and 1,500 people, all professionals. There was about 200 pastors, 200 psychiatrists, 200 Christian counselors, 200 neurologists and professional people of all kinds, you know. The hundreds of all professionals from all over the world that had come. I sat in the top balcony. And I was so excited to hear Ed Smith, you know. Because one truth on that video turned everything around for me. So I wanted to hear more. So then when Ed, he's a tall guy. When he started, he said, before I speak tonight, I'm going to ask some of you to come up here and give some testimonies of what the Lord's done to you, for you in this ministry. Immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, son, I want you to go down and give you a testimony. I said, no, Lord, I can't. I don't want to do that. Second time, the Lord said, I want you to go down and give your testimony. I said, Lord, please. You know, I didn't know how to tell him. How do you tell the Lord, I didn't come to hear you, I came to hear Ed Smith? Shh, quiet. Third time, very strongly, he spoke to me. Go down, give your testimony. So I reluctantly, slowly came down the stairs, hoping by the time I came down, all the testimonies would be finished and I wouldn't have to do it. But there was just one guy in front of me and I was the last guy. And I shared my testimony, shared with the whole crowd, 1,500 people, professionals, and shared that whole testimony. I wept as I shared the different aspects of the testimony. Brokenhearted. I said, how 20 years earlier, right in the same region, all this hell broke loose in my life. And the 3 years of deep depression I went through, walking with death. And the 5 years of unbelievable attack where my wife walked with death. All those kinds of things. One trauma after another, debilitating my life, my family, and my ministry for 20 years. You know? And I said, and Ed was standing right next to me, big tall guy. I said, Brother Ed, 2 weeks ago when I heard your video, I was so angry with you because I thought, how could you make certain statements like that when you haven't gone through the 20 years of hell that I've been through, starting from the same region? Then when you shared more truths, and I began to tell him the thing that got to me, And then I shared the testimony about how I went to church and the prophetic words that Dave gave me and things. And I was weeping as I shared. And finally, I said, all teared up, you know, and I said, well, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving me the opportunity to come back right to this region and to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and the devil's a liar. Amen. Hallelujah. Honey, we shrunk the devil. Hallelujah. All 1,500 people, they just jumped to their feet and they were applauding and praising God. And I was just a mess. I was just crying and crying. You know, some weeks later, I saw in his magazine, there was a picture, a beautiful picture. And I want you to keep this picture in your heart as we leave today. You know, it's a picture of a Christian wearing the full armor of God. And the Christian with the armor of God is, this is a cartoon picture. And the Christian is squeezing the neck of a demon. And the demon is making a confession to the Christian. And the caption read like this. The demon is making a confession to the Christian. And the demon says, your fear of us is based on a lie. Our fear of you is based on truth. Hallelujah. Honey, we shrunk the devil. Satan has no control over our lives except for the lies that we believe. And if we keep believing the lies, then the devil will create a deceptive reality so that you can keep going at it. In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 22, God rebuked the leaders of Israel who are using witchcraft powers to bring people into bondage. Ezekiel 13:22 says, with lies you've made the hearts of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. So this morning we're going to do some business here this morning. We're going to just make some declarations, renounce whatever lies that I've held. Sometimes these lies have been there for a long time, sometimes in childhood. And we're just going to take authority and reject these lies of the enemy. Praise God. Do you know that in Romans chapter 16, verse 19 says, concerning that which is good, be wise. In other words, focus on that which is good. And verse 19 also says, concerning that which is evil, be simple. In other words, you don't have to be an expert on spiritual warfare. You don't have to be an expert on Jezebel or Jezebel's cousin. You don't have to be an expert on evil. He says in Romans 16, verse 19, he says, concerning that which is good, like who you are in Christ, Satan's defeat, our authority over him, the promises of God, all these things. Concerning that which is good, focus on it. Be wise concerning it. Concerning that which is evil, be simple concerning those things. And you know what the next verse says? Romans 16 verse 20 says, if you do this, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. When did you think about God's peace as a weapon in spiritual warfare? You focus on that which is good, praise God. And simple concerning that which is evil. Would you stand with me, please? Let's just make some declarations of prayer and victory. Lift your hands up to the Lord, please. Hallelujah. I'm assuming everyone here is born again, but I normally don't take chances because also for those that are watching by Facebook or anywhere else, everybody, lift your hands up, please. Make this declaration. Say this after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I receive your word. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me by your precious blood. I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is my Lord. I believe I am born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I have eternal life. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me. I receive the word this morning in the name of Jesus. Satan and every evil power controlling the lies in my life, you have no more dominion over me. I have dominion over you. And in Jesus' name, you are bound, you're paralyzed, you're brought to nothing and under my feet. And I declare, I have been delivered from the authority of darkness in the name of Jesus. I receive healing for my body, not tomorrow, Not late tonight. Not 5 minutes from now. But right at this moment, in the name of Jesus, your word says, you took all my disease, all my pains, all my sickness, and by your stripes, I was healed. I choose to believe your word is true. I choose to believe I have been healed. So I believe I now receive healing for my body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. 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 Every sickness, every disease, every pain in my body, I'm talking to you in the name of Jesus. You don't belong in my body. And in Jesus' name, I demand, get out of my body right at this moment. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Every evil power trying to control my mind and emotions with grief, with the oppression, with witchcraft, with curses, with fear, with panic, with torment, you have no more dominion over me. I have dominion over you. And in Jesus' name, you are bound, you are paralyzed, you are brought to nothing. You're under my feet. And I declare, I have been delivered from the authority of darkness in the name of Jesus. Every evil power trying to control my finances with burdens, with crisis, with bondage, with debts, with lack, with poverty, you have no more dominion over me. I have dominion over you. And in Jesus' name, you are bound, paralyzed, brought to nothing, and under my feet. And I declare, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm victorious. I'm prosperous in the name of Jesus. Honey, we shrunk the devil in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Please be seated. Before I turn it over to Pastor Jan here, just a couple of quick announcements. Hallelujah. Again, for the third time, I'm getting somebody in this section here, a blockage in the right ear. It's actually getting better, but whatever is left of it, there's a healing that's taking place. Praise God. I believe there'll be a lot of other testimonies as well as we made these declarations. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a website called augiedavid.org, AugieDavid, Augie short for Augustine, AugieDavid.org. And our vision is to reach the world, raise the leaders. And in reaching the world, our ultimate goal is television. Right now we're involved in television. We're doing a lot of recording and things like that. We're going to be able to do 4 languages, reaching about 100 million people in India, and then go global soon after that also. So ultimately that's our goal, is reaching the world, raising leaders, crusades. I was involved with the second largest ministry, a friend of mine that the Lord used me to help train early in the ministry, early in his ministry. We were doing some crusades all over India. We went to some dangerous places. One time we were there, we had 150,000 people in one of the most dangerous places of India. And we saw 50,000. I mean, actually, we saw hundreds of miracles of all kinds. One particular night, 2 people with no eyeballs, the Lord recreated eyeballs, shook the whole place up. And when we gave the invitation, my friend, Brother Rambabu, when he gave the invitation that night, 50,000 people stood up to receive Jesus as the Lord of their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And mornings I was teaching the word of faith to 50,000 people in the mornings and teaching the word and all that. So we work together like that. So we do a lot of things. So that's reaching the world. Raising leaders is leaders not just in ministry, but in government, entrepreneurship, inventors, investors, medical people, all those kinds of people. So we're developing courses and methods on how to mentor people and raise up leaders as well. So that's just a thing in a brief to let you know a little bit about ourselves. I'm from Bangalore, India. And we're 44 years in ministry. In the last 2.5 years alone, just in the last 2 years since we moved to Dallas from Miami, Florida, I've been to more than 70 nations in the last 2 years. And the secret is I'm only 67. Hallelujah. Honey, we shrunk the devil. Give the Lord a hand of praise.